Not only did they erase Tartaria, 1776 was the year everything changed. In 1776, the Illuminati was founded in Bavaria. The Rothschild banking empire began its global expansion. The American Revolution broke out. Tartaria began to disappear from the maps, all in the same year. Coincidence? Tartaria was not a myth. It was a vast ancient civilization with advanced free energy technology, great architecture using sacred geometry, a harmonious way to live with natural law, knowledge of the ether. They buried Tartaria, literally, with mud floods, natural disasters, and a new history. Once they buried the old world, they created the new one. Central banks, slavery by debt, maritime law, artificial scarcity, indoctrination through education, all funded by the same families. The Rothschilds didn't just fund empires, they funded restarts and deleted everything that didn't serve the system of control. Tartaria was way too free, way too advanced, way too powerful. So they turned everything upside down. Free energy became fossil fuel. The truth became a conspiracy. The spirit became religion. Nature has become a resource. Freedom became an illusion. 1776 wasn't the beginning, it was the cover. We are the generation that rediscovers what they tried to delete. Tartaria was real. The ether is real. And the truth is no longer hidden.
Yeah, folks, the old world would have been something spectacular. It really would. Would have been great to see all the free energy stuff we had, all the plasma stuff that we had, all the Tesla stuff. A lot of that stuff appears to be coming back. But they're destroying all of it. They're destroying everything they can about the old world, all of this ISIS stuff, all the shit that's happened in the Middle East has been mainly about destroying a lot of the old world, and they're still at it. Israel is just pounding the shit out of Lebanon, pounding the shit out of Gaza. Gaza is about, well, it's less than half the size that it was. People are just crammed into these tent cities in this area, like even within Gaza City, like areas within that map that you just saw are within Gaza City. Well, there's areas of Gaza City within that map. And the people are just living there in tents among the rubble. I mean, there's some buildings, there's, you know, shells of buildings still standing, but mostly it's just rubble. And they're still bombing it. They are pounding the shit out of Lebanon as well. They're annexing most of southern Lebanon.
Israeli troops have crossed the Litani River and they're now advancing north. They're now occupying roughly 2,000 square kilometers of Lebanon. That's nearly 20% of the country. And over the past weeks and months, Israel has destroyed dozens of villages in the south. The latest push has brought Israeli forces closer to Nabatiyeh. They've also advanced to Zawtar al-Sharqiyeh, that's a town southeast of the city, and also pushed into the village of Shukin. Hezbollah says its fighters confronted Israeli troops here, fighting at a close range. The Israeli military has also issued forced evacuation orders to Shukin and other areas in the district, and forcing people out of their homes. More than a million have been displaced. At the same time, these areas have come under relentless Israeli strikes, including Nabatiyeh, the city, and the villages and towns in the district.
They bombed an ancient Christian castle the other day, Beaufort Castle. This was built by the Romans back in the 1200s. It's a Christian landmark, UNESCO World Heritage Site. The excuse was, well, the Hezbollah had a rocket launcher in there. So, of course, we didn't send troops in to get rid of the rocket launcher and the crew with the rocket launcher because we're a bunch of gutless cowards who can't actually fight anybody who might possibly fight back, which is why we just murder Palestinians all the time. So instead of that, instead of sending anybody in to do the proper job that a military would do, we just thought we'd bomb a World Heritage Site because we don't want to spill any Jewish blood because too many of us died in the Holocaust. It's always about the Holocaust. The Holocaust is what gives them the ability to wage all of these wars of aggression and claim that they're defending themselves, because once somebody tried to kill them all, somebody murdered 6 million of them, and that means that someone tried to genocide them once and so never again. When in fact, it's all complete bullshit. There was no Holocaust of Jews in World War II. The worst Holocaust that we saw anywhere from around that time was the Holocaust that happened during Bolshevism, which saw the brutal murder of around about 66 million Christians at the hands of Bolshevik Jews, and a lot of more, of course, which saw the murder of around 6 million Ukrainians at the hands of these same people. And of course, Rhein-Wiesen-Lager, that saw the murder of 11 million Germans at the end of World War II, again by the same people who are now genociding Gaza and now genociding Lebanon, and are all being funded by our governments because these same Bolsheviks have infiltrated all Western governments, which is why it's now illegal to criticize these people, no matter how much harm they do. Yeah, and if they're not getting enough support and people start noticing what they do, they have no problem at all in killing a few of their own people in order to get new legislation passed to keep you quiet, the way they've done in Australia with that whole Bondi thing, which was so obviously a Mossad setup. And then you had this Royal Commission into anti-Semitism. I don't know if it was a royal commission, but it was a commission into anti-Semitism in Australia. And during that commission, you actually had one of the speakers of the commission asking one of the representatives of SBS, a television station in Australia, the people who ran the Eurovision voting, actually asked them why Israel scored 0 votes out of the 7 board panel, and why there were 0 votes from the Australian public in general in support of Israel in Eurovision when Israel came second in the contest.
Look, I also want to ask about Eurovision, and in particular Australia's 7-person jury, which is selected by SBS. Now, I'd just be keen to understand how this works, but as it looks on its face, 0 votes were provided to Israel, and Australia's public vote also awarded 0 votes to Israel. Mm-hmm. And so Australia ranked Israel 25th out of 25 countries in the final. Mm-hmm. And just for context, Israel in fact came second in the competition. So can you just explain how that happened, Ms. Poffelman?
When you, Senator, I actually don't have that in front of me, but I'm really happy to come back to you on, you know, the judging process, absolutely.
So how's the panel selected? And
again, as you've mentioned, we select the panel. Again, I can come back to you on the sort of criteria and how we go about making those decisions.
Is there someone else here who could address questions on how the panel works? And because this is all, the voting is all run by SBS?
Well, the panel is run by SBS, and so the panel's voting. Obviously, Australia votes through the same mechanism as other countries, you know, the online voting and the phone numbers.
Is that coordinated through SBS, though?
No, that's coordinated through the EBU, yeah.
Okay, so the SBS doesn't have anything to do with the public vote?
No, Senator.
But the jury vote, which is run by SBS and SBS selects the seven-person jury. So as it's, as we've seen, Israel received zero votes. Mm-hmm. Are you aware of this?
I mean, how is this a question? How is this a question at an anti-Semitic inquiry or a commission into anti-Semitism? Well, perhaps nobody voted for Israel because people don't appreciate this rogue state carrying out the genocide and live streaming the genocide of children on TV, raping, pillaging and plundering, raping prisoners to death with metal bars, like the doctor, father of five, soccer coach, doctor, someone who saved lives. This was the man that we saw raped in SDE Tiananmen jail in Israel, raped to death by the guards, metal bars that ruptured his bowel and went in so far as they punctured his lungs. This is what Israel does to its prisoners, and they protest their right to rape. In fact, if you report rape, it would appear that you are charged with a crime and the rapist is celebrated if you're an Israeli. That's the way it goes. And this is what our governments are supporting. And they're now talking about merging the US military and the Israeli military together as well. This is what you see when you see a bloodless coup, folks. This is what you see when you see a foreign occupation completely taking over your government. I mean, if this were to happen, it would be the loss of the United States completely, and you would have Americans being drafted and sent off to Israel's wars to die for Israel, when simply that's what it's all about anyway. It isn't that they really particularly want anything. They just want to destroy everything, and they want as many people to die as possible, because that is what they do, unfortunately. But yeah, that's the state of the world, folks. Another thing that I saw with this, I mean, there is just mass killing going on in West Bank at the moment. They are kidnapping around about, the other night, like in one night, I think they kidnapped around about 700 Palestinian men. They strip them naked and just parade them and take them off to prison. And bear in mind that now they've passed legislation in Israel saying that prisoners can be executed. Well, they only arrest people because they're terrorists, right? Even though none of them are ever charged with any crime, but they're Palestinians, so therefore they're terrorists because they're resisting Israeli terrorism and aggression and take over their land. They're not being good, passive little victims. And so therefore they're terrorists. And so they take them to jail, where they beat them, they rape them, they torture them, they humiliate them and just abuse them 24 hours a day, put them in stress positions for things like 60 days straight, all sorts of stuff. The shit that they put these people through is unbelievable, incomprehensible and inhuman. And this is, of course, what is being supported by Donald Trump and Randy Fine and Lindsey Graham and John Fetterman and all of these fucking sadistic parasites that you have masquerading as politicians in the United States government, and, of course, by many other Western governments as well. They are supporting this, fully supporting this, folks, and they are suggesting that this should come to the United States as well, because you've got so many Israelis in control of the United States government. In fact, if you complain about the government at all, you complain about terrorism at all, then they will call you a terrorist, and this is what they will do to you. And they are using Palestine as an example. And as I've said many times, the way of Palestine will be the way of the world. But they have been kidnapping up to 700 people a night from West Bank. As the Israeli general said, they are killing now the way they have not killed since 1967. They are just on a bloodlust spree at the moment. They are massacring entire villages in southern Lebanon. The city of Tyre, ancient city, 3,000 years old, little village, completely destroyed. Like I showed you before, bombing and taking over Beaufort Castle. They also dropped white phosphorus on the village surrounding Beaufort Castle. Just horrendous stuff that they're doing. They are killing between 300 and 400 people a night just in Lebanese villages from the bombs that they're dropping on villages. These are residential areas. It's just leveling the whole place. Ben-Gavir is saying that we need to, there's an area there, we need to raise it, and then we need to raise it again, and then we need to raise it again. This is just genocide. They're calling for genocide the way they have been all the time, the way they were at the start of the invasion of Palestine as well. I mean, when they went into Gaza, they did so because they staged the October 7th attack against themselves, used their little puppet Hamas to do a few things, and then they staged the attack against themselves, and they used it as an excuse to genocide Gaza. And if you talk about it, well, you're apparently the criminal. But the thing is, all of our politicians are supporting this, folks. And this is going on while everyone is distracted with Iran and everything that's going on over there. And what's going on with Iran is simply to shut down the supply chain. I mean, if Iran was really playing the right game, Israel wouldn't exist anymore. Tel Aviv wouldn't be there anymore. We all had high hopes at the start of this that Iran would respond the way you would expect them to, and they would wipe Israel off the map, but they have failed to do so. All they're doing is destroying the world infrastructure, which simply plays right along with the Zionist and globalist agenda. All while they're claiming that Trump is destroying the globalists. I mean, Trump is a full-blown Zionist. Trump is doing everything he can to support Israel. Israel, like they said, they're killing what they haven't killed since 1967. How do you think they're able to do this? They're able to do this because they're getting so much support from Donald Trump and the Zionist government that he's got in place there. I mean, Trump even said the other day that he's got 99% approval rating in Israel. Perhaps he'll run for Israeli prime minister when he finishes being US president.
I'm right now at 99% in Israel. I could run for prime minister. So maybe after I do this, I'll go to Israel, run for prime minister. I had a poll this morning. I'm 99%. So that's good.
You know, if he's not a Jew, he wouldn't be able to run for office. He wouldn't be able to run for prime minister, and he wouldn't have a 99% approval rating in Israel, folks. Trump's a Jew. He converted to Judaism years ago. 2016, I think, something like that. 2016, 2017. So, yeah, it's crazy. And recently, he's made $4.6 billion in profit on insider trading just in his first year of office. I think he's made most of that just since he bombed those 168 school children in Iran on behalf of Israel. And just the other day, he funded some company that his son is involved in to the tune of $620 million. And he's doing all this sort of stuff while he's recently passed an executive order or something like that, exempting himself and his entire family from tax audits forever.
The day before Bezos made his remarks, the acting Attorney General of the United States announced that the Justice Department would grant Trump, his family, and his businesses immunity from all audits and investigations for any past tax-related misconduct, and the announcement claimed it would last forever. The week before, Trump disclosed that his stock portfolio had executed around 3,700 trades in the first quarter alone, a staggering number, many following a suspiciously convenient pattern, a stock bought shortly before a government action or statement that benefited it. On January 6th of this year, for example, the Trump portfolio bought $500,000 of NVIDIA stock. A week later, NVIDIA received U.S. clearance to sell its H200 chips to China. That was not all. The Commerce Department this week announced an investment in a quantum computing company in which a member of the Trump family holds interests. And don't forget the $500 million UAE investment in a Trump family crypto venture, the $2 billion UAE investment using that company's stablecoin, the flurry of new Trump Organization real estate deals, or the drone company in which the Trump family invested and that later miraculously received a Pentagon contract.
Where's this little dog gone? Nacha. There she is. Hello. I thought you'd gone down the hill. I wonder where you were. What's happening? You remember Nacha, folks, from the ranch? She's with me here. As you can tell, I'm back in Acapulco at the moment. But yeah, I just wonder where she was. But yeah, I mean, all this is happening, and it's like, it's crazy at the moment. The whole world's just nuts. And like, they don't even care. They're not even worried about showing you how corrupt they are. But all this stuff is going on while people are distracted with Iran. And like I said, Iran's not playing the game. Iran's playing their game. They're not playing the correct game, though. All they're doing is shutting down all of the supply chain and transferring more power to Israel in the process. But while everyone's distracted with what's going on in Iran, and all these different chess moves that Trump's making and China's making. Apparently, China's buying oil from the United States now, but you don't even know if any of this is true. I mean, all the peace deals that Trump says he's making with Iran, peace deals are on the table. Iran keeps saying, we're not even talking to him. He hasn't done anything. The other day, he said he was going to give $300 billion to Iran in reparations for what happened. Then the next day, he said he was going to bomb Iran. They had one day to sign the Abraham Accords, and then he said there was going to be a 60-day extension, and then at the same time, they're rallying troops to send ground troops in. So who freaking knows what's going on? It's just one big blood sacrifice. That's what it's all about. That's what it's always been about. That's why they want to have the American troops joined at the hip with Israel so they can just all be sent out to die. Israel wants this war, Gog and Magog. They want this war of East against West.
I'm not so sure that we will have as easy a time with the Turks as we've had with the Iranians. I've been following Turkish military doctrine, and
the strongest army in the Middle East.
The storm is coming.
Yes, of course.
I'm a member of NATO. And even worse, they're a member of NATO. So I look at Iran as a problem we absolutely have to finish. And I'll explain what I mean by that. Gaza, same thing, and the Hezbollah. Why? Why am I fixated on this now? Because we have to be prepared for the next war, which will be probably against Turkey and Egypt.
They're thriving on this shit, and they're not going to stop. And Trump is fully their puppet. And something else is going on beneath this, as I talked about on the last video report, of course, is the data centers. And all of this AI stuff, like 6G. And 6G being the sixth generation of communication, all running off the 5G network, which was, of course, the introduction of the millimeter wave to make all this possible. The data centers that are being built, like that one I showed you on the last report, 62 square miles. going to use 800 million gallons of water every day. See, all the fuel shortages and all of this sort of stuff, this is integral to what they need. They want you in electric cars. They want you geo-fenced. Yeah. They won't be able to beat cash because they can't print cash and ship it out to the banks because there's no oil for the cars, you know? Like, it affects everything. So it's all got to be run electrically. That's what they want. Digital currency, digital everything. With the data centers, like I said, everybody uses smart everything, smart fridge, smart phone, smart TV, smart cars, smart everything, smart toaster, for God's sake, smart watches, all of this. It's all online. Even when you're hooking up earpods from your cell phone, that signal is being intercepted. They know what you're listening to. They're listening to it as well. Well, they might not be listening to it, but it's being harvested. That information is being harvested. It's being stored on a data center. And there's a lot of reasons that they do this. It isn't just so that they can trap you in this 5G digital world. You've got to think about it on a more esoteric level as well. Like I've often said, being trapped into the mainframe, if you were in a virtual reality, how would you know it? I mean, sure, there's ways of replacing memories. So perhaps you wouldn't know how you got there or whatever. But there's also ways of harvesting memories and storing memories. Through the graphene and through all the stuff they've put in your body, if you're hooked up to the system, they know everything about what you're doing. If they were to put you into the mainframe and they wanted you to not know you were there, they want you to still be able to retain all the memories that you had. The memories of what you were listening to on that particular flight between Chicago and New York. The memories you have of what you were saying to someone, what you were listening to, what you were watching that day. So all of this is recorded. It's all stored. They've got your entire life recorded and stored if you've got all these smart devices around you all the time. Because they're not just there for your surroundings. They're also there to monitor everything you're doing and everywhere you go. You know, a lot of people have often talked about the fact that they have like a virtual world. They have like a world simulation. And everybody's there. Every single transaction, everything that happens, everything that anybody does, it's all there in this virtual simulation that they've got. And they're able to do this through all the tech. And soon they'll be able to do it if they can't already. But soon they'll be able to do it by the graphene and stuff that's in people's bodies. Even the people that don't eat processed foods and don't eat, or didn't take the vaccines and things like that. But that's the thing, I mean, it's in processed foods and all sorts of stuff. There's fine amounts of chemicals and metals and things that are in all processed foods, even in freaking breakfast cereal, for God's sake. They say added iron, you can actually get a magnet and you can find the iron in the breakfast cereal. It's crazy. But it's like they've got a simulated world. And their goal is to trap people into this simulated world. An interesting thing that I found out the other day, like you've often heard me talk about scrying mirrors and the sigils for summoning demons, how they all look like electrical circuitry. The scrying mirrors appear to be the cell phones and the computer screens, the black mirrors. You've heard me talk about all this sort of stuff. I was having a bit of a debate with someone on X the other day. And I was talking about Israel, as I generally am on X. which I think a lot of what X is about as well. It's just a loose harvest. They just want you to get there and get frustrated and get angry and start arguing with people. Half of them are probably bots. But I see a post and sometimes I just got to post something just for the people who come after can read it, you know. But he said something really interesting to me. Like I was saying, there was a woman who was saying how proud she was to wear the Star of David around her neck. And I just pointed out, I said, well, actually, there's no such thing as the Star of David. You won't find any reference to a Star of David in any religious book anywhere. The stars that the Jews have on their flag is actually, the six-pointed star is actually the Star of Remphan. It reveres the demon Moloch, and it represents child sacrifice. It's even mentioned in the Bible in Acts 7:8, I think, verse 43. And it says that that's what it is. And, I mean, you even see depictions that Israelis post of you know, depictions of Christ draped in basically the Israeli flag. And I pointed out that there is no way that you would ever see Christ draped in a garment bearing the Star of Remphan. In fact, it was the Jews' adoption of the Star of Remphan, which was, according to the Bible, one of the final straws which caused Jesus to condemn Judaism completely and turn away from the Jewish faith. So, you know, it's incredible the amount of propaganda. But anyway, I was talking about this. I was having this debate on X. And this guy said to me, oh, you've got no idea. You know, something isn't evil simply by its shape. It's all to do with sacred geometry, blah, blah, blah. And I'm saying, well, I'm not saying anything's evil by its shape. I'm simply pointing out what that star represents. And he went on to say that the inversion of two triangles that way, the two tetrahedrons, is what causes the creation of piezoelectricity, and that star, that particular six-pointed star shape, which is simply the inversion of two triangles, you know, one upright and one inverted joined together, is simply, he said, this is a shape that is used to generate piezoelectricity, and it is at the core structure of every computer chip. And without that shape, we wouldn't have the computer chips. I thought, well, isn't that interesting? Isn't that interesting? When you look at everything I've said about us being drawn into the mainframe, about this being a soul harvest, and AI like coming online and blah, blah, blah. It's fascinating to know and to find out that right at the basis of the computer systems that we're using to power everything, anything that's got a chip in it, like probably this camera even, is the Star of Remphan. Interesting, really interesting. You know, they get us worshipping and following these dark forces so easily, and we don't even know what we're doing half the time. It's quite remarkable, it really is. And I've often thought, like, when you look at these cameras and all of this sort of stuff, I mean, a lot of tribal cultures, like Indians, for example, American Indians and others, like a lot of native cultures from South America, didn't like to be photographed because they thought you were capturing their soul. And it's interesting, some of the things I was saying before about, you know, capturing your memory and capturing a completely detailed recording of your life. Everything you do, everything you think about, everything you say, everywhere you go. I mean, think about all the things you've typed online. If you're someone out there who might have had a secret life online, signed up to some sites that perhaps you're not supposed to, done things you're not supposed to, had meetings you're not supposed to. If you've used technology to do any of this, then it's all been recorded. All of your internet browsing history, right back since, you know, 95, whenever, when they brought Windows online. Windows is like a window into your life. That's probably why they named it that. I know they named it that because of the little different windows that open up. Yeah, yeah, sure they did. Of course they did. That's probably why they named it the Internet as well, and the World Wide Web. It's just because of interconnectivity. It's nothing to do with catching things, no. And windows are nothing to do with a window into your life, no. And smart technology is nothing to do with looking at the deeper meaning of everything you do. No, it's all to do with convenience. If you look at the etymology of the word smart, it actually means to inflict pain or to experience pain. Interesting how that works, isn't it? Little Nacha down here. I love this little dog, folks. She's a wonderful little dog. Follows me around everywhere. She's been really good. We've become really, really good friends. Yeah, but we know where it all goes, all this smart technology, folks. I mean, we saw what they did with the pages with Hezbollah in Lebanon. Absolutely disgraceful. And I said years ago, before that even happened, like back in 2019, I think, I said to people, your smartphone is a bomb. It's a lithium bomb. When they explode, they go off in an explosion about the size of a baseball, a white explosion. And if you're looking at this thing when it goes off, it'll blow your hands off and probably blind you. And I mentioned that. I mentioned doing that to people. Most people carry these phones around in little bum bags on their groin or in their back pocket or in their top pocket near their heart. Well, generally, they're in their hands and they're touching the thing with both hands and they're looking at it and it's about, you know, a foot or a foot and a half away from their face, well in line of an explosion should the lithium battery inside go off. And you can't take the batteries out anymore. And that was an old phone with a battery you could take out, and it was a small battery. But that's what they do. Imagine what they can do with the new iPhones once everything comes online.
Hello?
Get security! And a first aid!
Yeah, crazy. Quite possible, though. And it is all coming online, folks. Because, like, along with the data centers, they're also building this huge chip factory in Arizona. TSMC is the name of the company. And what they built there is virtually a city, and they are building chips that have like over a billion transistors on one chip, on one surface on the chip. These are multi-layered chips. We have chips now in computers that are 10 or 12 core chips. These are chips that can have like a billion transistors per core. Imagine what they can do with this technology.
What we're building is a city.
It felt like 1,000 football fields under development. It's almost unfathomable.
We can fit billions of transistors on a single chip.
One transistor is 10 to 20,000 times smaller than a human hair.
To be able to do this is incredibly difficult. We are tricking light using extreme ultraviolet technologies to be able to print line widths at that geometry.
It really blows the mind. You stand in front of something that has as many transistors as the stars in a galaxy. To make these chips exist, we try to make the impossible possible. This is the job of an engineer here.
All the technology that we take for granted, it would not have been made possible without semiconductors.
Everything around us has a chip inside it.
All that we use, the way we live, the way we work, those chips, guess what? TSMC makes most of those.
The technology that we're working on here is the building block of so many innovations going on around the world right now.
This technology is making AI a real thing.
You need these really advanced chips for those that nobody else can make but TSMC.
Yeah, and this is all to not only power the data centers, but also to power strong AI. Strong AI is what will be used to run factories. It's what will be used to run the police force and stuff like this. Strong AI being robots with artificial intelligence that can think for themselves and act of their own accord. And Terminator sort of stuff. Strong AI, this is something that I talked about years ago coming online, and that's to be followed by Claws AI, which is cyber lethal autonomy for world security. But strong AI is mobile AI with dexterity, human dexterity, that is equipped with artificial intelligence. That's what strong AI means. And you're talking about Terminator-type robots, and this is one of the reasons we're seeing this mass depopulation happening as well. Nacho, it's okay. This is one of the reasons you're seeing this mass depopulation happening as well. See, they want to get rid of all the Western people from Western society, the people who grew up in these societies and built these societies, because we have memory of what things are supposed to be like. So what the plan is to bring in all these migrants, which is what they're doing, which is called replacement immigration. But there's actually a UN paper on replacement immigration, if you think this is a fictional thing.
If you haven't read this, the link is down below. Go read it. That whole thing basically says that our current population isn't a good enough grade of workers to sustain the economy. Therefore, their plan is to do away with us everyday people and use young migrants to keep the system going. Go read.
Yeah, it's a real thing, folks. And they say that. I mean, even people like, Brendan Tarrant, the Christchurch shooter, all this sort of stuff, and that manifesto that was apparently found, which is, of course, was completely contrived and made up, but that talked about the great replacement, because, of course, they don't want you talking about any type of replacement, because if you talk about it, you must be a terrorist like Brendan Tarrant. This is the way they play this sort of shit. And yet, at the same time, there is a UN paper called Replacement Immigration. And the core premise, as she said, is that the people who live here now simply aren't going to accept these type of standards and work ethics, and so they need to get rid of us and bring in migrants who can't really think that clearly, they're not educated, that'll just do whatever menial tasks that you give them to do, because there won't be any real jobs left anymore. There won't be any jobs that require intelligence, like organisation or any of this sort of stuff. This will all be done by AI. Even the police force, you don't need people who can think about things. If you're down on social credits or down on carbon credits or down on, you've been criticising the government too much, so of course you're down on social credits, then the AI algorithm will send out the robot police and they'll pick you up and they'll take you to a correction centre because you need re-education. There won't be any chance of a trial or anything like that. You don't need a trial because you've obviously committed a crime because you're down on social credit points, you're not agreeing with what the government is telling you you should agree with, so therefore you're a dissenter, therefore you could be a terrorist, so therefore we will have to take you off for evaluation, psychiatric evaluation, possibly some chemical aid to help you think a little bit more clearly, and then of course we will release you back onto the streets should you comply. Should you continue not to comply, well of course you must be a danger, so you'll be taken out and liquidated. Probably literally liquidated, or should I say liquefied. They do have those type of devices that they're talking about. They had these in Japan or China a couple of years ago, these little mobile morgues they were taking around places that would quite literally liquefy any corpse that you put into them. They'll probably be able to put you back in the water supply then. Maybe use you as part of the cooling system for one of the data centers so that your soul goes to a good place. It's a wonderful world that we're moving into, folks, a truly wonderful world. You see, Jeff Bezos' rocket exploded on a launch pad the other day while they were running a test as well. Seems like a little bit of an oops moment. Elon Musk was, of course, quick to chime in and said, oh, don't be concerned. These type of RUD events happen quite frequently in rocket science. RUD events. This is a rapid, unscheduled disassembly. Rapid, unscheduled disassembly. Like, he's, of course, an authority on this sort of stuff. An authority on rapid, unscheduled disassembly. This is like George Carlin and soft language. You know, no, it isn't a rapid, unscheduled disassembly. The fucking thing blew up, you know? Imagine if you had astronauts in there. Of course, they're astronauts, but anyway, we won't even go there. But yeah, that's where it's going. The technology is just so wonderful and so good for us, folks. It's incredible. But as I said before, while this is all going on, Israel is just going hell for leather, like a mass killing machine, bombing the shit out of Gaza. Dog lines in Gaza now. They had them for a while, actually. Like where I showed you that map before, you notice the little areas there around the border on the Israeli-controlled side. These are actually platforms where Israeli guards sit. And if anybody comes within shooting distance, they shoot them and feed them to the dogs or leave them for the stray dogs to eat anyway. So even saying that Gaza has that much space is not true, because if you come within range and are visible to Israeli soldiers on any of those platforms, they will shoot you. So even saying they have that much space is a complete lie. Everything Israel ever says is a lie, folks. But yeah, it's incredible where we're going. And the incredible thing is that the people are supporting it. And it's such a joke at this stage. It's a joke. It's just like the United States is being freaking bled dry by Donald Trump. He's made something like 3,700 trade deals or something since taking office. Over 3,000 deals, insider trading deals. And he still hasn't been arrested. He's given $620 million to a company supported by his son in a matter of weeks. It should have taken apparently years for this to go through. And they just did it. He's made around about $4 billion or over $4 billion for himself in insider trading. Bombed Iran illegally, passed legislation so he and his family can never be ordered. It's just insane. And now the Supreme Court has just ruled that all of Trump's tariffs were illegal and that all that money has to be repaid. Apparently $166 billion has to be repaid by the Trump administration. You think about it. Tariffs. When you put a tariff on something, who pays the tariff? The people who buy the product, the consumers at the end of the line, are who pays the tariff. If you're an American and you bought goods that came in from China or Russia or whoever he had tariffs on, and you bought those goods, it was you who paid the tariff by the increasing price on those goods. So now he's going to repay the tariffs. Does that mean that everybody who's got a receipt for some item they bought from a Chinese company gets to get that difference back? No. The money gets paid back to the companies who already profited on the goods that they sold people who paid the tariffs. So yeah, the money gets milked from the people to pay the tariffs, and then Trump's ordered to give it back, and he gives it back to the companies, to Jeff Bezos and Amazon and all the people who profited off the goods the first time. Now they get to be repaid all of the tariffs that you all paid for. It's just insane. Incredible how they just bleed the place dry. And meanwhile, you've got places like Lakewood, New Jersey, where you've got all these Jews sitting on the Council of Lakewood who funnel all the money that comes into Lakewood Council off for Jewish establishments, like the Jewish-only school and all this sort of stuff, and you've got kids in the normal schools, the American kids in normal schools and stuff, they got no amenities, they got no lunch break, they got nothing, they got just the most crappiest noodles and shit for lunch, while all the kids in the Jewish schools have got like five-star treatment because it's all Jews on the councils and they funnel all the money off to Jewish projects. And if you complain about it, you're anti-Semitic and you should go and find somewhere else to live because we don't tolerate anti-Semitism. Like, it's unreal, the setup that they got going, folks. I mean, it's an incredible scam, and it all runs off the Holocaust. You can't say anything about it because they tried to kill us in World War II. No, they didn't. It's all complete bullshit. You got to give it to them, folks. You really got to give it to them. They've really got the whole system sewed up and nailed. But wouldn't it be great to get back to what we had? Like what I showed you in the start, all that Tartarius stuff. Wouldn't it be great to get back to a system where we didn't have to pay to be alive? Because that's the crux of the whole thing, the fact that we've got to pay to be alive. There's a lot of people, I talked about that on the last show, and there's a lot of people who can't understand it. They say, no, capitalism's great. Capitalism's awesome. I came from a communist country or a socialist country or whatever sort of country, and capitalism is so much better than what it was. Well, yeah, maybe it is. Maybe it's better than that. What if there weren't any isms? What if the only ism we had was free-ism? Wouldn't that be good? What if we are free to express ourselves to the fullest of our potential in all that we wanted to do? And there were no restraints on that. What if we weren't restrained by money or artificial scarcity or any of that sort of stuff? You imagine if we were all living in a place, imagine if the last year of school, or part of your schooling, anyway, all the way through school, you were taught how to farm and defend for yourself right from day one. Imagine if every kid who entered primary school had a little farming project. Probably started off as just a little vegetable garden growing radishes and carrots and tomatoes or something. And by the time you've got through primary school, it's a fully fledged farm. And then by the time you've gotten through high school, it's a fully fledged farm with a little dwelling on it. And you've got a well and you've got a toilet system that you built yourself and all this sort of stuff. Wouldn't that be a great education system? And while you're doing all that sort of stuff, you could be learning to read and write and draw and express yourself to the fullest of your potential. And the teachers would be studying you to see what you excel at. Because every child, or most children, unless there's something wrong with them, maybe they're autistic because they had a vaccine, most children have their own particular genius. You find what that is in the child. You look at what they love the most and what they excel at, and you nurture that in them. And they become the best carpenter on the block, or the best stonemason, or the best builder, or the best fisherman, or the best this, or the best artist, or the best whatever. Every child has their own particular genius, but if we were taught to grow up to be self-sufficient, what would we need money for? If we were taught that beauty has a function, if we lived in a guild-based society where skill at a particular craft was what gave you your social standing, where would the wars come from? Where would the theft come from? You want to steal from me? What do you want to steal from me for? Come into the house. I'll teach you how to do what I do. You don't have to steal from anybody. You can learn this craft. If you don't want to do this, go into his house. He'll take you in. Learn his craft. Why steal? There's no reason to steal. We'll look after you. We're in abundance because there's no money to get in the way of the abundance that's all around us on this earth. Because we all grew up learning how to create abundance. Because that's what life is about. Life is about creating abundance. It's about finding love. You don't need OnlyFans. OnlyFans leads you away from love, leaves you away from a family, leads you away from what it means to be human. All these people do all this OnlyFans shit and all this modeling shit, they think they're going to be young and beautiful forever. No, it's a very, very short window. It happens when you turn about 18. You're actually old enough to be allowed to do that sort of stuff. By the time you're 30, it's pretty much over unless you start having plastic enhancements and doing all this sort of stuff to fuck yourself up. know, unless you're a natural woman just living naturally, and then you'll find that that inner beauty that you hold will keep you beautiful on the outside until you're 60 or 70 years old. And even beyond, even some old ladies that you see that are like 80 years old, and you look at them and you look at the fire in their eyes and you look at the lines on their bones and you go, wow, you're a little hottie when you were younger. And you still have that beauty in your eyes and in your face because of the beautiful person you were. You didn't sell yourself to that thing, that mammon, that specter of what success and reality is. You were just yourself and you found the person that you love. You had a wonderful life and you had children and you were nurturing and loving and you experienced yourself to the best of your ability to do so. And that's what kept you beautiful. All this other stuff, I might feel really sorry for young women who go through life and they believe they've got to look like this or that or whatever the magazine says. Because all women's magazines do is teach women that they're ugly without all of the enhancements that we're going to offer you to improve yourself. Otherwise, you'll never be as good as what you're supposed to be as a woman. That's what they're kind of taught. I mean, it's sickening to see. And they go through all these enhancements and they think that it's just all on the outside, that they've got to be attractive on the outside to be acceptable to society. And the more enhancements you have, the uglier they look as you get older because your face just doesn't age properly. So you've got to have more enhancements and all that sort of stuff. And most of what people perceive beauty to be when it's been artificially obtained. I mean, look at Kim Kardashian now. She doesn't look anywhere near as cute as what she did when she was 20. Once she had all that surgery and stuff done, you know, like all of them. I mean, but what I'm saying is that there's so much deeper part to life than beauty and what it means to look like on the surface. Sometimes the beauty just shines within. Ugly people have beauty as well. I hope I have some beauty, and I'm pretty fucking ugly. So, you know, I've got this rhino femur on my nose. My nose never used to look like this. It's just, it grows, that's all it does. But anyway. But, you know, beauty isn't what people think it is. And so much of this society has been designed to destroy society itself, to stop people having children. And like I said, meanwhile, you've got places like Lakewood, New Jersey, where they're having 12, 13, 17, 18 children per family. Same as that village, what's it, Kiryas Yoel up in northern New York State, 17, 18 children per family. Massive marches, rallies for these people all around the place. Merging of the whole thing, getting everyone to revere the Star of Remphan, or they go out on mass killing sprees. These people are demons. They're demon spawn. They are devils in disguise, and they have fully taken over the United States, and the people of the United States really need to reclaim their country. You don't need to do it through violence, but you can't stand by and just watch it happen. As is typical with most Jewish things and Zionist things, everything they say is stated precisely backwards. And every accusation they make is a confession. There's one particular Zionist Jew by the name of someone Gilad. Am I Gal Gilad or Gil Gilad or something like that? I don't know. Galad. But he says that suicidal empathy is what is destroying the West. And he's referring to the fact that we are too soft on Muslims, when really it's suicidal empathy of the Israeli state that is killing the West. Suicidal empathy of Judaism. These people come into your country, they undermine everything. They take over your political system, your financial system, your scholastic system. Just the stuff I explained before about how all the money is being funneled out of places like Lakewood, New Jersey, all to support Jewish projects. No money is going into the American schooling system in that community. The children are living like paupers and the Jewish community is thriving. This is happening everywhere they go. They're in control of the financial system. They're now in control of the US military. They're able to do this because of people's sympathy for what they suffered in World War II, which is a lie. There was no Holocaust of Jews in World War II. All you have to do is go to the camps and you can see that for yourself.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. My name is 1984 and I'll be your tour guide today here at Auschwitz. Please refrain from taking any pictures or video and keep together with the group. You are now entering the staging area. This would have been where the prisoners were told to undress prior to showering. The Nazis wanted to make sure that everyone was clean and showered prior to gassing them to death. Moving forward, we are now at the entrance of the gas chamber. Please take note of the wooden door in front of you. You will find that this is the only gas chamber in existence to ever use a wooden door. As we enter the chamber, direct your eyes to the left wall. If you look carefully, you will see actual scratch marks in the concrete where the prisoners tried to claw their way to freedom through the wall. Even though fingernails cannot possibly scratch concrete according to the Mohs scale of hardness, this obviously does not apply to Jewish fingernails. Above your head, you will see numerous hatches that were constructed after the liberation of the camp. Zyklon B, a popular pesticide of the day that was used primarily to combat lice, was the gassing agent dropped into the chamber from above. As we make our way through the door to the left, we now enter the crematorium used to dispose of the bodies. What would take all other crematoriums 46 years to dispose of 6 million bodies? The Nazis managed to do it in 6. That being said, both the crematorium and gas chambers were destroyed in 1944, and nothing you've seen today on this tour was actually constructed by Nazis. However, we promise it's historically accurate. That concludes our tour for today. We thank you for joining us here at Auschwitz, and don't forget to hit the gift shop and amusement park before you leave and enter promo code GASMEUP for 20% off all purchases. Friendly reminder, if you purchase the VIP all-inclusive package, you will have the unique opportunity to actually lay inside the ovens and have your photo taken. That portion will begin momentarily.
Yeah, it's pretty obvious to anybody who goes there. And they are like an infestation on this earth. They've taken over all of our governments, and it is our empathy for these people because we're human. We don't want to hurt other people. We don't want to hurt people. We don't want to attack and fight and hurt people. And that's what they count on. That's their greatest weapon, is our empathy. But look what they do. Look at the way they treat the prisoners. Look what they did to the flotilla prisoners. Treated them bent over double in stress positions. They put these Palestinians in these positions for like 60 days. They tortured them. They raped them to death. A lot of the flotilla prisoners were raped and then sent home. It's a culture of rape. It's a culture of child rape. There was a Jewish guy caught trying to smuggle a 5-year-old into a toilet the other day and rape her. Thank you. this is what happens. So it's our empathy that allows this to happen. And this is all being supported by our politicians. We've got to remove support from these people. Like, the entire American government needs to be replaced. Trump doesn't support America. He supports Israel. He knows that if he steps too far outside the line, then they're going to release the Epstein files. But it's got to be the posturing. You know, are we going to have a ceasefire? Oh, no, we're not. Are we going to put ground troops in? Oh, no, we're not. We're going to wait one day. Oh, no, we're going to wait 60 days. Are we going to audit Fort Knox? That's what we're going to do. Are we going to do this? Are we going to do that? Oh, I've just got an oil deal here with China. Or, oh, yeah, but we're going to do this. We're going to do that. And then we do. And meanwhile, Israel is just raping, pillaging, and plundering, killing more people than they've ever done before, killing more people than they killed since 1967, not only in Gaza and West Bank, but also in Lebanon.
Akhla peso, huh? וואי, איזה בריזה. לא יאמן.
וואו. שנה בשבת, שענות.
300 to 400 people per night being bombed in Lebanon. They're annexing the entire country, destroying World Heritage sites and putting up Israeli flags and saying, oh, there was a rocket launcher there. Dropping bombs on tent cities in Gaza. Going to West Bank, kidnapping 700 people in one night. All of who will be executed in Israeli jails. They'll be taken there, they'll be treated like shit, they'll be bent over double, just piled into rooms that are already full of people, humiliated, pissed on, raped by dogs. Israel is the only country on earth that trains dogs to rape people. Think about that. What Donald Trump's supporting, it's what Randy Fine's supporting, it's what John Fetterman's supporting, it's what Lindsey Graham is supporting, it's what Ted Cruz is supporting, it's what all of these parasitic fucking morons in your government are supporting. For a lot of the politicians in Australia are supporting, Canada, all around the world. This is what your politicians are supporting. So this is what they have in mind for you. All because you comply with it, all because you think the system's real, all because you're not prepared to call it out. Time you call it out, folks, because if we don't, the way of Palestine will be the way of the world. I've been saying this for years, and it's happening right before our eyes. But anyway, folks, I'm going to leave it there for now. I mean, you can just go on and talk about this sort of shit forever. What does it do? What does it do if people don't actually do something about it? And the only people that are going to do anything about it is us. The only people who can do anything about it is us. And again, you don't need to do it through violent revolution. I mean, you've got your guns there in America. If they come for you, you've got them. So, I mean, you can use them as a deterrent, but you don't need any violent revolution. All you got to do is say enough is enough. All your politicians have abdicated your privilege to govern. Trump, you're a liar, you're a traitor. Look what you've done. Look what he's done. Lost 17 US bases. Put the country suddenly like three times as much debt as what it was. He's bombed more countries in his first year than any other US president. Insider trading increased his personal wealth by $4.6 billion just since his first term. Went in and bombed Iran, killed 168 school children for Israel, failed to release the Epstein files because he's mentioned them 38,000 times, $620 million to his son. He's a fraud. He's a liar. He's a traitor. He's supporting Israel, even saying that he might even run Prime Minister of Israel because he's a Jew. He doesn't support America. make America great again, bullshit. Make America a great little subservient slave to Israel again is his plan. I don't know why he's still in office, but it's going to continue. Well, what are you going to do, vote for the next fraud? You know, you got to see how much you're being played, all you people. It's incredible. Every US base lost. And nothing is going to change things. The more this escalates, if he goes in there, ground troops, whatever, he's just going to keep the supply chain closed for longer. Nothing that he's going to do is going to fix the problems that he made and that he created. It's just like a fucking puppet show. It's unbelievable. But anyway, folks, I'm going to leave it there for now. I look forward to seeing those of you who are coming to Liverpoolco. And thank you to all those people. Same thank you. Same people who send me kind letters, people who send me kind emails, people who make contributions. It's very, very appreciated that you do. Those people also, anybody who does buy the Tesla machine, those people who use my code, you will get yourself $500 off the machine, and I do get a kickback from you doing that as well, so it does help. I have been referring a lot of people to my nephew, those people who write. If you are interested in using the machine, if you can't afford to buy one or you want to try it first or whatever, and you live in Australia, I can put you in touch with my nephew in Queensland, and I can put you in touch with a lady also in Melbourne. I've been getting some pretty positive reports from all those people as well, so yeah. Everything's kind of falling into place. I mean, all this sort of stuff's coming back online, folks. And I think as negative as it gets, we're going to get through it, but you've really got to maintain your focus. For me, AI has really prompted me even more to get back in touch with my life skills and get offline more. I plan on maybe going back into the forest again for a little while before I go to Europe for Liverpoolco. I want to get everything sorted out that I have to do here in Mexico, and then I plan to go back into a forest somewhere for a few weeks and just get offline again. AI has really destroyed the internet for me. I went onto Google the other day just to check it out. Now, you can't find anything now in a Google search. Nothing comes up. All you get is AI suggestions on what you typed in. It'll give you references on stuff it looked up and what it thinks you should know about it, but it won't give you any websites. Like, you can't search for, I mean, there's things, there's incidents that happen. I'll give me a list of all the times this happened. And it just said, oh, there's no official list of rah, 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 rah. And it gives me a big spiel, and I'm going, well, hang on, just give me the list that I asked for. No, I won't do it. You know, give me a list of these websites. No, it'll give me some official AI spiel. It won't actually connect me to the websites. You have to go to browsers such as Yandex, and you find some good results on Brave, but mainly Yandex. So AI has taken over all the search engines now as well. You can't even find anything online anymore. You're just erasing history while they're storing all your data on their mainframe via the use of chips that have a star of RAM fan at their core. It's amazing how all this turns out to be just what I said it was. But anyway, I'm going to let you go now, folks. Thank you for joining me on this report. Little dog, he's getting nervous. He wants to get back inside. You want to go back in, darling? You want to go back in the door? I'll open it up for you. But I'll look forward to speaking to you again soon. Please take very good care until then. I do hope to see many of you at Liverpoolco. I still hope we can get there. And I hope I can get back into the forest, get everything sorted that I need to do here and get back into the forest. But anyway, I look forward to speaking to you soon. Please take very good care until then, folks. In Lakesh.
5 billion people on the planet got a vaccine of some sort. If you apply the range of the death rate in the U.S. that I gave you earlier, you get a range of globally 7.3 million to 15 million died from the vaccine.
And that 7 million to 15,
to 15 million. Yeah. And so let's there's been a study by Dennis Rancourt. We've looked at his methodology. It's different than what we do. We're not saying it's wrong. It's an estimate. And he came up with 17 million, which I think you talked about. So yep. our upper range is right there with Dennis Rancourt. Okay. disabilities, when you look at the ratio of 4 to 1, you multiply the 7 million and the 15, approximately 15 million times 4, you get a range of 29 to, let me see, I got to look at the numbers. 29 to 60 million disabled globally. Okay.
29 to 60 million disabled globally.
Correct.